Here, both side. Simon Kof Yud. The beginning, the first two Se'ifim of Kof Yud, as we pointed out, really go together with Kof and Kof Aleph. It's about Dvarim Chashuvim She'ein B'Teim. If you remember, the two kinds of Dvarim Chashuvim that are not Batel Yavish B'Yavish that we discussed so far are a Birya and a Chatiha Uilus Kaved. And now, in these two Se'ifim, we have two more categories. So, first, Dvar Chashuv. There's a Mishnah in Orla about Dvarim Chashuvim that aren't B'Teilem, and that's talking specifically about plants, plant materials, vegetarian foods, as opposed to birias and chatiru l'shkabed, which are meat. And there's a machlokes tana, three-way machlokes tanai, as to what form hashuvim are not bought. One is the chachamim. Says the chachamim, six things. I'm not going to list them on the board. And says Rabbi Akiva, seven things, right? He has the same six things, but he adds kikor shel balabais. And then comes Rabbi Meir and says, nope, any davar shebaminyan, he's going from kula to chumra, is not batel. What does he mean by davar shebaminyan is it batel? So here, there were two competing mesoras about the girsa and Rabbi Meir. What were the two competing mesoras in the Gemara about exactly what Rabbi Meir said? Okay, which is more Mako? Exactly. So within Rav Meir, we have Rav Yochanan, who says, S, Shedarko Limno Shaninu. Shaninu means is the right gears of the Mishnah, meaning only something that is, what does Rav Meir say? Anything you count. That's Chashuv. Things that you count are not Batel. So he says, only S, Shedarko Limno. Things are exclusively counted. However, says Rish Lakish, and he is the most macher, he says, Kol Shadarko Lingam Shaninu. Anything that is even sometimes counted. Okay, some Rishonim say mostly counted, most of them say sometimes counted. So here we have four opinions in the end, either only six things, only seven things. Everything that is always counted, what do you mean counted? I mean, they're sold by count. When you buy them, I charge you for each one separately. Or even Reish Lakish's version of Rav Meir, things are sometimes counted. Let's see how we paskin. Dover Chashuv Oser Ravina Bakalshu says the Mechaber, quoting the Rambam. Behem Shiva Dvarim. Shiva Dvarim is, of course, the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. So the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Akiva, and the Mechaber follows the Rambam. If you are Sfardi, then you can, you can't stop here, so we haven't said what the seven things are yet. But if you're Sfardi, you can basically stop here, and only these seven things are not bought on them. What do we mean by only these seven things? So let's read them. Elohim ekode perach v'rimone badim v'chavios stumos v'chalfos tradim v'kilche krov v'glas yivanis v'kikor shabal bais. Okay, these are very fancy things that I'm not sure exactly what they mean. Like, I don't think we know what Rimone Baden are as opposed to other Rimone, etc. They're apparently very, very special. Chavigil Stumos, we understand. Closed barrels of wine. And Kikar Shabal Bais, we understand. Homemade loaves of bread, which are more chashuv than bakery loaves of bread. V'chein, here he adds something that's not found in this Gemara, but it's found other places in Shas. Bali Chayim, Ar chashuvim hein ve'inu b'teilu. That's mostly in the 8th parak of Zvachim, called parak HaTarovas, by the Rishonim, although on the top of the page in your Shas it says, Kol HaZvachim Shemes Arvu, is all about, Kol HaZvachim Shemes Arvu, Ashor Nisko gets mixed up with other animals, Achatos Mesos gets mixed up with other animals, Olus get mixed up with Shlomim, Achatos, etc., etc. And they're like, but why don't we just go by the road, Bitzel Barov? The answer is because live animals are chashuv and they're not bottom. Okay. But anything else, even though you sell them by count, so they have chashuv enough that you charge for each one separately, nonetheless, they are olin b'shurin. Olin means they're batel in whatever the appropriate shear is. You know, look in Simen Kof Tes, and you'll see the appropriate shear. Either 60 or a rogue, or, you know, 100 for Truma, or 200 for Arla, whatever it may be. Okay, so that's the Psak of the Sfardim. Let's just skip two Sif Beis before we go to the Ramah. Says the Mechaber Sif Beis, I mean the continuation of this. Kol Davar Shu Choshev, the continuation of the Alpha Mechaber. Kol Davar Shu Choshev, they are. Anything which is chashuv in your time and place, the way it goes, Perech, Emrimoni Baden were in the old days in Israel when they wrote the Mishnah, who also Bechalshu is also being the seven is Lavdaf, being seven or equivalent, which is a little hard for us to judge because we don't really know what it goes in Baden were, but I guess, you know, these most super special things that we have in our society. The only reason the Mishnah lists these things is because they are usher everywhere. These things were chashuv everywhere. But likewise, if in your place there's something that's chashuv, so it's the equivalent. Okay, so for Sfardim, it's the seven things or the equivalent. excuse me. The Ramah, however, argues and says, Yesh Omrim, called Dover Shiva Minyan, the anything Shiva Minyan, which kind of Dover Shiva Minyan? He explains the Hainu Shadarko Noso Tumit, something which you always count, meaning you always buy and you pay per unit. They're very chashuv. You never just estimate or have a bunch, etc. You always pay by number. Eno Batel, the Chaino again, so says the Ramah. The Ramah Paskins like Rabbi Yochanan's version of Rabbi Meir, mostly on the one hand, you know, it's like who says we pass like Rabbi Meir against the Chum of Rabbi Akiva, but since Rabbi Yochanan is like, we should argue with him, Rabbi Meir. So all the Rishonim Ashkenaz agreed to Paskin like Rabbi Meir. So we pass like Rabbi Meir. Who says that we pass like Rabbi Yochanan's version of Rabbi Meir based on the principle that Rabbi Yochanan always beats Rish Lakish? So some of the Rishonim quoted in the Beis Yosef are the Ri and the Smag and the Smak and the Rini Yerucham and others. So let's just, okay, we'll start with the postgame. Here we have most Rishonei Ashkenaz, right? Basically, most Rishonei Ashkenaz. And therefore, that is the Psak of the Ramah. Ramah pas like Rav Yochanan. Let's continue. The Ramah just throws in a side one. Remember, we passed all these Ram Chashuvin, it's only Midrabbanan and Rabbatul, Midrabbanan, the Rabbatul, the Rav. And therefore, it's a Suffolk or Makel, but I think the Shachim Sukkot and Yud says the same thing he said in Simon Kuf and Simon Kuf Aleph, right? If you remember what he said, it doesn't mean if we're Suffolk whether it's Usher or not, but it's definitely Chashuv that we're Makel. No, for Masupik, whether or not it's Usher, it's definitely Chashuv or Machmir. It just means if we're Masupik, whether or not it's Chashuv, then we can be Makel, because the din that Adam Shemini is not Batul is only Rabbanan, and we can be Makel. Okay, that's Shach. He's fairly consistent. However, it gets more complex because there are a minority of Rishonei Ashkenaz who paskin like Reish Lakish. Why do they paskin like Reish Lakish? Because there's a Gemara and Beit Zadav Gimel where there are many deus that hold like Reish Lakish, perhaps. So, if you look, for example, says the Shach, Davar Shedarkin also Tamin, well, Davar Shemokin Lefamim of Yekam Kim Omen, sometimes things that you sometimes sell by count, but sometimes just estimate. And here's a bunch, you know, I don't know, this looks like a lot, you know, how about $20? You know, it looks like around 20, how about $20, as opposed to counting them out, right? So if you always say, it's about $20, then that's not the Mishmini. If you always count them, that's Eishadarku Limnos. What if you sometimes say, it's a big bunch, $20, and sometimes you say, let me count exactly how many I'm selling you, that's Kol Shadarku Limnos. So he says, according to the Ramah, Kol Shadarku Limnos, like eggs, are batel. Now, the Pesukei Teshuva has a discussion of eggs. Everyone discusses eggs. Why? Because I guess eggs was a common thing to cover those days. But, of course, it really is irrelevant what any given Achron paskins about eggs, because Eishad Arkalimnos and Kolshad Arkalimnos depends on your time and place. To the best of my knowledge nowadays, even the Ramah would be machber that eggs aren't batel. Because you always count eggs. And you ever buy eggs not by count? You ever buy eggs not like you pay by the dozen eggs or by the 18 eggs or however many are in the box. And I've never ever bought eggs and someone says, well, a big basket of eggs is, you know, is 100 shekel. I don't know how many are in it. You always count the eggs. What? There's no, but a baker's dozen for bakers. To the best of my knowledge, you don't bake eggs.
No, they have a 13th egg. It's like,
who gives you a free 13th egg? Yeah, but now the truth is that is what's discussed by the Chuma. Betsy says in our Medinos they add an extra one. Maybe that's the baker's dozen. See, but then I'm a little upset. There's a special carton for 13 eggs, and they're selling them by 13.
They're going back 12.
What?
They're going back
12.
That's a
show. Right. Okay. So yesh l'ayin. I don't know. I never got a baker's dozen eggs. What am I missing? I never go to farmers markets. Okay. Anyway, sorry, Ian. I would say definitely the vast majority, 1/2 of eggs nowadays, are certainly sold by numbers. So I would certainly be reluctant to make them. I hear the svara, but I hear the svara, but I don't think that's true. Meaning, why do they sell them by number? Because ultimately, they sell them made a hashara that people care about buying a certain number of eggs. I'd be very reluctant to be mako.
If I had a dozen eggs and there was 11 in there, I probably would still keep the dozen eggs. I don't really care about the fact that it's like a dozen.
Yeah,
maybe she would.
I don't think so.
It's not like this is 12.
It's
obviously
at
the size of the
card. Yeah, but it's done that way. I understand. Of course, there are always some people who are not makbid in society. There are always some people who are vater and everything and not makbid in such a way that you pay per egg. They count the eggs. I understand. They count them in dozens, but I still think that's counting eggs. Anyway, Lani is daiti. I would be very reluctant to be making it. Number one, because maybe we hold like Rish Lakish. And for sure, a lot of people sell eggs by number. Number two, even we hold like Rabbi Yochanan. Almost always you charge by the number. Farmers markets are a very small slice of the egg sales. And even the farmers markets, that's not clear if that's the same as a Pesach Chuba. What does it mean to throw in an extra one? Does that mean, they throw an extra one because they're in a good mood sometimes? Or it means, they have boxes made for 13? If they have boxes made for 13, maybe that's not called throwing in an extra one. That's called selling by the baker's dozen. So anyway, Lamaisa, I would not be making one eggs at all. But let's just continue with the shach.
How many bagels donuts? I don't know. People will buy, three donuts. They buy three donuts.
No, but you pay for the donut. When I go to Dunkin' Donuts, they charge $2 per donut. I just made that up. I don't know how much the donut costs. How much is the donut? Oh, a dollar. They charge a dollar per donut. I don't care how many I buy, but I pay a dollar per donut, right? When I go to Dunkin' Donuts, they never say, give me $20 and take a box of donuts. No, they charge by the donuts. That's a Dovr Shemminyan. Yeah. It's a Dovr Shemminyan. Let's just finish the Shach for a second. Says the Shach. But, however, he says the Marshal wrote that we're Machra like the Sefer Truma, and then he also quotes the Shari Dura. The Dover shall if I'm in them cover Owen Carmen Binion Lo Bata, the King Pasak, etc., Kakos Mabat, King Kosma Isra Hatter, etc. So you have minority be shown in the Sefer Truma and the Shari Dura, and lots of Achronim. Shari Dura. Okay, they're conflicting parts of the Rehel, but here we already have lots of Achronim. What do we have? The Marshal, the Isra Hatter, the Bach. All are machmer like Rish Lakish. They say no again, machmer like Rish Lakish, right? I don't think they're necessarily saying we bevada know Rish Lakish is right or Yochanan is wrong, but they say lamaisa we're machmer like Rish Lakish. That's a big chumrah because if you think about it, a lot of things are sometimes sold by count. That's almost everything. Is sometimes sold by count. I mean, not grains of rice, but I don't know, like lollipops. You usually don't buy lollipops by count. You buy a big bag of lollipops and no one says how many are in it. Even sometimes they say when I buy candy in the supermarket, it says approximately whatever. Okay, that's what I meant. But you go to a kiosk and they sell lollipops, buy the lollipop, right? So that would, a lot of things would be not bought, it would be chashuv because you sometimes count them. Basically, like anything that comes in separate units, there's some people who sell them by count. That would be, hey, not grapes. You know, no one's counting how many grapes they sell you. You know, but what about apples? If you go to a bodega, you pay by the apple, right? They charge you, you know, 75 cents for an apple or whatever. So, yeah, very small percentage of the apples are sold by bodegas in that way. But it sounds like kol shadar kol limnos. So that would be a big chiddush. And the shach sounds like he endorses that chiddush, because he ends with quoting everyone who endorses that. And the Taz likewise quotes this in Sivkat and Aleph and says that this is like Rabbi Yochanan, et cetera, et cetera. But the Shari Dura and the Hagot Shari Dura, here's that, okay, another, the Hagot Shari Dura, that's, okay, that's Marshall, we already have him there. The Chain Pasak, the, one second, et cetera, et cetera. What is he in the end? La'inya halacha came into Milsner Abani, Kedai, Mitchell, Lissabon, Makom Hefzid. He's only Mekel, Be, Makom Hefzid. So here, for me to get more post, because the Shach sounds like he's Machmer. The Taz is also Machmer. Here's the Machaber for your Sparty. Life is very simple. Although, not so simple. You have to figure out what's the equivalent. Grandma here. And the Taz is only Mekel, Be, Makom Hefzid. And here, the Shach and the Taz Shalom B'makom Hefzid are Machmir. So really, now there's a whole debate. Most of the Achronim are saying the Taz only make a B'makom Hefzid Merubo, though not clear. Among these later Achronim, gets a little more complex. The Chachmas Adam only quotes Rama. The Chachmas Adam only quotes Rama. He leaves out the Shach and Taz. It's funny, he usually quotes Shach and Taz. In this case, he doesn't. The Aruch HaShulchan here says, he goes through the sugya, and he says, don't hold like Rish Lakish. I think you don't think Mach Rish Lakish at all. Certainly, if there's a Hefzik, even if no Hefzik, I think we should pass like Rabbi Yochanan. Certainly, if there's a Hefzik Tzas, for sure we should pass like Rabbi Yochanan. So the Aruch HaShulchan also goes here. So it's funny, even though, like, the Machab and Aramah, Aramakel, Shach and the Taz come with Chumras, many of the later Achronim, certainly the classic works of Halacha Pesach, come back with Kulas. So it's very unclear. If you look at the modern day Sfarim, everyone says a little differently. Some people say we hold like Rabbi Yochanan, the Ashkenazim, we hold like Rabbi Yochanan, that's the Aruch HaShulchan, the Chacham Adam. Some people say, what are you talking about? We hold like Rish Lakish, that's the Shach and the Taz, and the Taz only make a Hefzid Meruva, which is a matter of interpretation. Nirolani is Daiti, Halacha Lamaisa, since, as the Taz already points out, it's Milsa Drabanan, and it's a minority. Sheet and a milsad rabbanan. You know, certainly you'll want to stock if there's a hefzid, even if it's not quite meruba. But if you're stock, you'd be makel like Rabbi Yochanan. But seems to be that, you know, if you're not stock, then it would be good to be machmir like Rish Lakish. Anyway, Lamaisa, the Aruch HaShulchan and the Chacham Adam are big posts of us right to rely on. Certainly, the loss of the Aruch HaShulchan, I didn't write it down. Maybe I did. I wrote, yeah. That whoever saw Rabbi Yochanan in low hefzid hasn't lost anything, and especially if there's a hefzid tzas, you know, you could be someone from Rabbi Yochanan. So Nirolim is daiti, that's a harvei buckle lehakel. Certainly, if there's hefzid tzas, maybe that's also what the Taz intended. So I think that basically, if you're stuck, you have a month of a hefzid, even if it's not a big hefzid, one could be makel like the Rama. Yes, Rabbi Yochanan says only something which is always sold by count is usher. Like a lot of things are sometimes sold by count, sometimes not. Right? But the lollipops, right? You usually buy them in big bags in the supermarket, not by count. But sometimes, yeah, a lot of things like in a kiosk, they sell it by the unit. And the supermarket, they sell it they sell it in a big bag. So a lot of things are like that. Obviously, some things are never counted. Rice, no one ever counts grains of rice. Grapes, no one ever counts how many grapes they're selling you. You know, et cetera, et cetera. Right, but does anyone charge you by how many pieces of schnitzel you're buying?
Wait.
No, I don't think so. I don't think anyone charges you with a piece of schnitzel, although it's probably Chatzi Harila Scott made if it's a decent-sized piece of schnitzel, depending on how big. You know, there are small schnitzels, schnitzelonim, or a nice piece of schnitzel is probably Chatzi Harila Scott made. But I don't think it's a double shipment. Let's just, yeah, Yoni? Oh, now it is bottled, because just like all the Dvarim Chashuvim, once they break, just like if a bug breaks in half, it's bottled. Just like Yitzchavi gets cut into slices, it's bottled. So once the egg breaks and it's no longer a unit, it's bottled. How does that chashiva? So you can't see it. It's mixed in with other things. Even if you hard roll the egg and slice it in half, it's bottled. Even though you can't see it, because half an egg is not chashiv, so it's exactly like the other things. Once it's broken in half or mixed into something, not bottled, but of course you can't do that with chachil. So that is a big question. What if you buy something? It's funny because, like, it's not like only in the modern era we started buying things by weight. But what if you buy something by weight, right? Or by volume, although I don't think you buy most things by, maybe liquids or something, but, you know, by weight. A lot of things in the supermarket you buy by weight, meaning everything nowadays, they count something of that. They count the weight. We live in a society where almost no one says, oh, like, here's like a basket full, you know, looks like around 20 shekels worth, give me 20 shekel. No, you go to the supermarket, you weigh everything. So what if you pay by weight but not by unit? On the one hand, maybe that's chashuv, because they don't just estimate. They're medakdik to charge you. On the other hand, the medakdik to charge you for the material, but not for the unit. The point of chashiva is not that the material is chashiv. It's that this each unit stands in and of itself. It's a davar b'nei atzmo, right? So what are you talking? If you go and you buy rice, you pay by weight. If you buy oatmeal, you know, raw oatmeal, you pay by weight, right? It's like 7 shekel a kilo. I have no idea how much it is in my supermarket. I pay by the kilo for the oatmeal. You're going to tell me that's a double chashuv. And they never throw an extra. I pay exactly by the kilo, whatever it says in the scale. One oat of oatmeal is... That's an interesting one. You see, that's interesting, but they weigh each... But it's funny, because they don't weigh a bunch of diamonds and sell it to you. Each diamond has its own price, and weight is one of the factors that goes into it. No, if you would tell me that by diamonds, they just take a bunch of diamonds, put them on a scale, then I would say maybe that's similar to oatmeal. But that's not true. One of the factors that goes to the value of diamonds is weight. No one ever puts 3 diamonds on a scale and says this is how much it weighs. So I think that's not relevant. Anyway, Lamaisa, most things in this supermarket we buy by weight, cucumbers. I don't think anyone ever charged you per cucumber, but you pay by the kilo. They don't throw an extra. You pay X shekel a kilo. So what are the things that you pay with weight? It's interesting that I didn't find this to be shown in the classic Achronim. Maybe it was just so obvious to them that they didn't have to write it. The only problem is that people start arguing it's obvious one way or obvious the other way. The Mice of the Yad Yehuda here, I know I've quoted a few times. Okay, you can find it on the shelf downstairs. The Yad Yehuda here says that this, and I think he's right, that the steam of the Rishonim, the Mashmos of the Rishonim is that they only talk, because the classic is you pay by count or be'omid. But in our supermarkets, we pay neither be'omid nor be'minyan. We pay the mishkan. So it's not so clear. Look in if you look in the Rishonim, it sounds like davka minyan and not mishkan. And therefore, the Yad Yehuda says, and all the modern day posts say, things that you buy by weight are not a davar shebe minyan. Cucumbers are not a davar shebe minyan, even though you pay by weight. Zucchinis are not a double shaminion. Carrots are not a double shaminion. You know, whatever else you can imagine buying in the supermarket, that's not called double shaminion. Because even though you pay by weight, you don't pay by the unit. So the unit is not kashuv. It has to be a unit that's kashuv, double shaminion. Similar, remember what we said about the gribbinus? Right? If you have a nice serving of a lot of strips of gribbinus, then that's not kashuv. It has to be one piece that's kashuv. The kashivas has to be in a piece, not in a bag or box or plate full or bowl full. And therefore, it's only if you charge by the piece that it's Dover Shemminyan. If you charge by the kilo, it's not. So we pass it by the kilo, it's not Dover Shemminyan. Here we get an interesting machlokas in the post-gim. What about, there's some things, what about packaged goods? Leave the produce section, go to the rest of the supermarket, right? What about packaged goods? What if I buy a bag of rice, right? I'm not in the shuk. They're not like scooping out the rice for me, right? I'm in Rami Levi. The rice is in kilo bags, right? And each kilo bag has a sticker on it. When I buy the kilo bags of rice, I'm paying by the unit. Each bag of rice costs, I have no idea, it's called $7.90. Each bag of rice costs, same thing with cottage cheese. When I go to buy cottage cheese, I'm not scooping some cottage cheese and putting on a scale. There are containers of cottage cheese, and each container of cottage cheese costs X shekel. And what happens when I go to the checkout in the supermarket or any other type of store? They charge me for each minion. If I have five things of cottage cheese, they're like times five or scan it five times or whatever. So what about packaged goods? Are packaged goods a dover sheba minion? So says the Yad Yehuda. You look it up here, Sifkat and Dalit. Says the Yad Yehuda that, no. If you pay by weight, that's not Dover Sheba Minyan. But if it's in a package, then it becomes a Dover Sheba Minyan. Because this package is a unit that I pay the minyan for. That is the shita of the Yad Yehuda. He brings a raya from the Gemara in Beit Sadaf Gimel, which looks at litra ketziot, a liter of ketziot. I'm pretty sure a liter in the Gemara is a unit of weight. Not volume like nowadays. And they say, and apparently, I guess they would sell the katsios by liter units. Katsios are pieces of cake of dried figs. So the Gemara says, the liter katsios, that is a Tanit, a liter of katsios, okay, it seems to be maybe holds like your slakish or whatever. That's a dover sheba minyan, liter of katsios. So how tanit the liter of katsios, which seems to correspond to reish lakish. So hold on, what do you mean the liter of katsios? You're paying by the weight. So why would this be a dover sheba minyan? But apparently, no, you counted how many litros you were selling, right? You it was like a package. They didn't have shrink wrap in those days. But that was like the package. They would chop everything into liters and charge you by the liter. You know, but they wouldn't charge by the liter by putting it on a scale. Each liter is its own unit. I think that's the closest equivalent we have to packaged goods. And the Gemara calls that a dover sheba minyan. So that's why the Yad Yehuda concludes that packaged goods are dover sheba minyan. Basically, a bottle of wine is nowadays, dover sheba minyan, right? Because they charge me. So even a package of cottage cheese, anything that comes in a package that they scan the package instead of putting it on the scale would become a dover sheba minyan because you pay by counting how many packages you buy. Not everyone agrees. The Badei HaShulchan here disagrees. He says, no, packaged goods are just saving you the tircha of weighing it, but there's not really any chashivas to the package. They really just want to put on the scale and weigh how many kilograms it is, but that's too messy and too much tircha, so they weigh it in the factory. But there's no chashivas to the package. But, you know, that seems to be a finish. The more baits of the liter katsios have chashivas. So we hold on. No, I spoke to Rabbi Willig about this. He agreed with the Yad Yehuda. Simple pshat is packaged goods are a dover sheba minyan. The produce section that you put on the scale is not dover sheba minyan. The packaged goods are a dover sheba minyan, which basically means that, I mean, if you have some sort of mishap, and, you know, within the packaged goods, and the something treif goes out in the, you know, the kosher label, etc., you can't use bittel barov to say it's mutter because it's dover sheba minyan, and it is not batel. So, halacha l'maisa, we're going to assume that cucumbers and tomatoes and things that you put on the scale are not dover sheba minyan, but packages of, you know, of cartons of milk or containers of cottage cheese or containers of rice or noodles or pasta or whatever else in the supermarket, that is a dover sheba minyan because you count how many packages you buy. One egg, I think, is a dover sheba minyan because you count the eggs. Yes, but you're counting the dozen.
But no, you never know that by one egg.
Yeah, but still, I understand. But still, when you bought, I understand what you want to say is that it's the package that's counted, not the eggs. But here's a little funny, because eggs are the only thing which the package defined by how many eggs inside and not how much they weigh or how, or their, not their weight or volume. Eggs are a funny thing. It's the only thing where you buy them in a package, but the package is by count and not by weight or volume. There are some things we just buy by count. Some things buy in packages that have weight or volume. Here it's a package by count. So you don't even say a modet, the package of eggs is a derivative menu because you scan each box of eggs at the checkout counter. But each egg, it's not a derivative menu because you would never count eggs, you only count packages. And I'm not so convinced because I think when you count packages, you're counting eggs because the packages say the number of eggs on them. So, you know, I'm not swearing on a sefer Torah that Yoni's wrong, but my intuition is that since the boxes have a certain number of eggs, then even each egg is a derivative menu. Because you count the eggs by counting the boxes. I think. Yes?
The package of eggs would only be considered
a package. Correct. Correct. Only while it's still in the package. Yes, like Darvish Shemini is only when it's still in its when it's still a complete unit. Once you break up the unit, then it's just like breaking up a beer or chatiko rilus kabein, and there's no longer chashuv. Okay, what that means is if you have supermarket mix-ups, it's not so posh to say bittel barov, because a lot of things might be kol shadar kolimnos, and even more, shadar kolimnos, even more things might be kol shadar kolimnos, halach lamai, and that's what's funny thing, even fruits, in bodegas, they charge by the apple, which means it's a chashash with kol shadar kolimnos, which means that there's room to be nagel, but, if possible, it's good to be machmir. But certainly packaged goods we call Ashadarko Limnos and things that everyone sells by the count. I don't know, what in the supermarket does everyone sell by counting out? I don't even know. The Gush Katif lettuce, right? The Gush Katif lettuce you pay by the head of lettuce. You don't weigh them at all, right? Each head of lettuce costs, I don't know, 8 shekels. I have no idea. I just make up the number. I don't know if it's cost in the supermarket. So that's for sure. That's a pashut isha darko limnos. Okay. So these things could be very relevant, meaning a lot of things you might think about the world. First, we have to check if they're a darvish minyan or not. So a lot of things might be a darvish minyan. Okay, a few details that come up, Yoni.
She was impossible.
It's a good question. Is the counting a gloy milsa of the chashivas, or is the counting create the chashivas? That's a nice hakira. The answer is I'm not 100% sure. I'm not 100% sure. But lemaisa, you know, I would say probably the more macro way to say the counter creates the chashivas. And I think we'd be macro. Yeah. Right, but the Rambam's not really part of the chakir. He doesn't hold from counting at all. The Rambam just thinks things that are obviously chashiv, that everyone knows are chashiv. But again, we're Ashkenazim, so the Rambam is less relevant for us lemaisa. Yes?
No. Can you clarify the Mechaber?
No, the Mechaber says only the seven things, or equivalent.
Right.
How do you know what's equivalent, since we have no idea what Rimoni Baden were? It's a great question. The answer is I'm not sure. Not sure. You know, clearly not regular things. Clearly only fancy things. You know, what are fancy things nowadays? Really not sure what's fancy nowadays. Part of the problem is that, like, we don't have as much fancy in produce nowadays because, you know, we can ship produce from anywhere very cheaply and we can just grow, you know, not genetically modified like GMOs that some people are against. I just mean like, yeah, over the past 1,000 years, they've like bred things. You know, everything's a GMO before modern science. They bred things to be top quality. So, like, I don't really know, but maybe I just have to hang out with rich people more. Like, I don't know. It could be that the rich people eat different pomegranates than I do. You know? I don't know.
Maybe they fancy chocolates. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. Sorry.
We're going to have fruits. Like, for example, we buy mango right now. It's like, whoa. Mango right now.
Right, that would be an interesting thing. Maybe out-of-season fruits, although you got to wonder, did they say it depends on the season, or do we not go that far to make it different each season? It's different places. They don't say it's different months. You know, I wonder about that. It could be the Chazal wouldn't have wanted us to have to apply the halacha differently every month. So I'm really not sure what would be the equivalent of Rimoni Vada nowadays if you're a Sephardi. Maybe ask a Sephardi post it. Yeah, I guess that would be Rimoni Vada. Yeah. I think so. Or 1.5 or whatever, yes. Now you go in the weekend. No, that's already a chumrah. That's already a chumrah. You shouldn't confuse Hawaii and Japan. okay. Just a few details that come up here that we didn't discuss yet. Number one, the fourth word in the Mechaber, Dover Choshev Oser Bimino Bekolshim. Only Min Bimino. What about Min B'Sheino Mino? So this is a machlokus between the Shach and the Gra. The Shach says Lav Davka. It's also Oser Be'eno Mino B'Kol Shehu. But it's so rare to ever have a case that that's why the Machaber just said Be'eno. Because how are you going to have a case of Dersh Min that doesn't mix up with Eino Mino? Similar to the question of how you have a case of Mim She'eno Mino by any Yomish V'Yomish that the Shach dealt with in the previous Simon, but especially in Dover Shabaminian, how does it get mixed up with Shalom Amino? So you can find crazy scenarios. Basically, he says Mino is Lav Davka. It's just that Mino is common. The Gra says no, Mino is Davka. It's only a Chumra and Min B'Mino. Why is it only a Chumra and Min B'Mino? He didn't explain. Maybe Min B'Sheino Mino is no simple Shticha. Maybe it's only like echoes of the Shita where Yehuda Min B'Mino is not Batel. Anyway, here we have Machlokas. Would it be Batel? What about a Dover? Chashuv, Min B'She'eno Mino, says the Shach, it's not Batel, says the Gra, and the Pshat of the Mechaber, which would be the Pshat of the Rama, of course, that is Batel. Halach L'Maaseh is never going to happen anyway, so I'm not sure how we paskin, but it's an interesting machlokes. The Shach of the Forgotten Days has an interesting question. What do you do with a tarovas when there's no bittel? It's not specifically about Dover Chashuv Dover Shabinyan. What do you do if you have a tarovas and it's not bittel? Well, one case is easy. What if you have a tarovas of machos asuros, one treif thing with 20 kosher things, and it's not bittel? So what do you do with that tarovas now? One treif and 20 kosher, practically. What are you going to do with the tarovas if it's not bittel? No, it's just a treif. You give it to a guy or feed it to an animal, right? Not a big deal. Sell it to a guy. The more interesting question is, like, everyone knows what to do with Darobos or Treif and Kosher. Sell it to a guy. The more interesting question is, what if it's Darobos of Isuri Hana'a, right? What if you have Darobos of Isuri Hana'a with Heter? Now, you can't just give it to a guy. So that's a real practical question. I have Darobos of Isuri Hana'a with Heter. What do I do with it? Obviously, I could just throw it out, but do I have any recourse? I could lose a lot of money. I mean, it's bad enough to lose a lot of money when I have to sell things to a guy instead of a Jew. But it's not the end of the world. But if I have, I know, chaticha riliskabi, one chaticha of basar b'chalav gets mixed with 100 chatichos of regular basar. 101 chatichos, if I could throw them all out, that's a big hefzit. So what can I do? So the Shach and Sukkot Beis brings down two possible solutions that are discussed by the Rishonim. What if you have a taroves of Isser Hana'a? So what do you do? So number one, there's a heter called Mocher Legoy Chutz Mitmei Isra Noshabo. Let's say I have 101. I can sell it to the guy for the price of 100 and just give him for free the Isra Na. Why? Because then I'm not Nana from the Isra Na. So that everyone agrees works, right? You can be Mocher Legoy Chutz Mitmei Isra Noshabo. Now, of course, you can't cheat. If I tell the guy, you should know I have 101, but I'm giving it to you for the price of 100, you know, 500 shekel, then I'm really charging for 101. It's just business. What I have to do is I have to tell the guy, or I can't tell the guy, I'm selling the 100, but I'll give you one as a favor. Because then he'll owe me a favor. That's also a no. You're not going to be sure I know to a guy because he owes you a favor. You can't give me sure I know to be super for a tip because he's going to owe you a favor. Rather, you have to do is say, I'm selling you 100, and charge him for 100, then give him 101 and hope he doesn't notice. If he notices, says, I don't know, I didn't pay attention, like whatever it is, right? So that he doesn't owe you a favor and he doesn't think he's getting a good deal, etc. But that's what you can do. Just tell the guy you're selling 100, give him 101, hope he doesn't notice. If he does notice, say you didn't notice. And then you're not being netted from the Isra Hana, right? Because it's not like it makes all 101 Asra Hana. No, just there's one that's also running there. You don't know which it is. So if you can figure out a way to be Nana from the hunter without being Nana for the one, that's great. How do you figure out a way? If I feed one to my dog, maybe it's the Isser. If I sell one to a guy, maybe it's the Isser. Or I sell all 100 at the same time, throw in the 101 when he doesn't notice, then I'm not being Nana from the 101st. The more controversial, this is possible. The more controversial solution is this. Can I say Mashlech Demei Isser Hana'a Liyam? Throw the value, let's say Isser knows with $10. Throw $10 into the ocean and then sell it to a guy. Right? Even to sell to a guy normally, like one at a time in a regular retail store. This is Machlokes, the Rashbam, and everyone else. The Gemara says that it's mutter. The Ravid, I meant. This is Machlokes, the Ravid, and everyone else. The Ravid says that it is the Rashbam. Hugadas Rashbam, Shigatos, Rabban, Shambal, Inking Das, etc., etc. Okay. The Ravid and the Rashbam versus Rov Rishonim. Is it mutter too? That's the phrase. Yolech Hanali Yam HaMelech. Right? I will put the right phrase. Yolech Hanaa Liyam HaMelech. Here we have the Rashbam and the Ravid say Mutter. And the most Rishonim say Aser Mutter Rak Be'avodah Zarah. Here it's a funny thing. Whoever would be more makelon over to Zara, maybe it's a good trivia question setting. When are we more makelon over to Zara than another certain? The answer is according to most who shown them here. Why? Because it's a kula that's a side effect of a chumra. If I sell you Aser B'chalav or Arla, what happens? What's the status of the money I receive in exchange? Mutter. If I sell you a Voda Zara, what's the status of the money? Aser, it's totally stumbled up. There's a chumra of Voda Zara, the Isser goes on to the money. Says most Rishonim, since the chumra of Voda Zara, the Isser goes on to the money, that shows the money's really connected. And therefore that creates a kula. If I just take the money of the Voda Zara and throw it into the ocean, that money's connected to the Voda Zara, because the Voda Zara has power to connect money to the Chefza. And therefore, since I've thrown away money that's connected to the Chefza, therefore I'm not being Nana. Basically, the question is this. Can I say I have $10 of Isser mixed with $1,000 of Heter? I'll just throw $10 into the ocean and sell everything for $1,010 and I wasn't net because I made an extra $10, but I lost an extra $10. That's the machlokas. So the Rashbam would say, yeah, of course. I wasn't net because I gained $10 and lost $10, so I didn't gain. The other Rishonim would say, no, I was net because the loss of $10 is not mitzurif to the gain of $10. I gained $10 from the Isser HaNa'a and I lost $10 in an unconnected way. Only in Avodah Zarah there's a connection. In Avodah Zarah, the money, the value of something is connected to the Chafetza. Okay, halach l'maisa, we pass like the other Rishonim. That's not a solution. So therefore, if you do have a Tarobos and Misurah HaNa'a, the only valid solution halachically is to sell it to a guy, Chutz Midmei Yayin, Midmei Yayin Esah Shabor, Midmei Isser HaNa'a Shabor. Okay, another question that comes up here. Okay, there's a discussion of Shach details that we won't really get into. Yeah.
In that situation, it was 100 things, the one in, and I sell 100 to the guy.
No. Because if I sell 100 to the guy, the odds are I'm selling 99 heter plus one isser to the guy, so I'm getting money for the one isser. I threw it out, but I probably threw a heter out, so how does that help?
It's okay.
No, think about it. I sold 101 to a guy, but he only paid me for 100. So he paid me for the 100 butter ones, and he didn't pay me for the Isser one. So I got no Hanah from the Isser. It's actually glatt. I'm only charging him for the Heter ones. The Isser one is just there coincidentally. But if I throw one in the garbage, then now I'm charging him for the Isser one, most likely. Okay, well, we won't go through all the details. So let's go on to Sif Beis. Sif Beis. It doesn't matter either way. It depends. The Isser getting enough from Bas Mechalov and from Arlan and from Vaikarim is Dalreita. There are some things that are only also known in Yarbanan, like Stam Yenim. Right, is an element also known in Yarbanan. Right? So there are Isuri HaNo Darabon, and there are Isuri HaNo Daraisa. Depends which, but most Isuri HaNo and Shas are Daraisa. That I admit. You know, the vast majority of Isuri HaNo are Daraisa. There aren't that many Isuri HaNo Darabon. Okay, Sipes. What if you have a mixture of live animals, right? And they get shechted. Once they're shechted, they're not Bali Chaim anymore. And therefore, Betalim. Okay, that's the general rule, right? Whenever you're saying it's chashuv and it loses chashivas by breaking, by being changing its form, etc., it is now batal. Who should issue the b'shogeg? But only if you did a b'shogeg. Because what would be if I shechted them and made it in order to be batal them? Then what would be? I was violating bitulus l'chachila. What did the chazal say when someone violates bitulus l'chachila and made it? That there's a knas, then it's still not batal. They get benefit, right? So only if I did a b'shogeg. Now the Rama asks a question. And he doesn't ask a question, he gives an answer. But he gives an answer, he's implicitly asking a question. He says, hold on a second, we have a problem. I shecht an animal, so it's no longer Bali Chayim. But it's still, it's no longer Bali Chayim, but it's still Chatzin Ruzus Gabin. Right? So how can it be like, this is true conceptually, lumdishly. If you're looking at the sugya Bali Chayim, Eim and Betelem, once you shecht it, it's not a Bali Chayim, it's no longer alive, it's Batal. But practically, it's not a Bali Chayim, but it's a Chatzin, now it's a Chatzin Ruzus Gabin, so it still shouldn't be Batal. So that's a classic question. So the Rama answers, Adavka Bali Chayim, Ketanim, Sheinim, Ruzin, Luskabi, Lachshin, Tassan. Says, no, here you have to make the Okimta, we're talking very small animals. They're so small that after you shecht them, they're not big enough to be ruined with scabbed. Okay, that would have to be very small. They'd have to be birds. I don't know if there's any cows that are so small that after you shecht them, they're not ruined with scabbed. I don't know. Maybe very, very tiny kid goats or something. I'm almost so by birds already that we understand. You can have a small bird that is just not ruined with scabbed after you shecht it. That's very mistaken to me. And maybe even a small animal, although I'm a little skeptical. But who knows? Maybe places where they grow them small. You could have a tiny, newborn sheep that is so small when you shecht it's not really scabbing. Okay, doesn't make a difference. That the Rambam's answer. Here, the Shach, all the Achronim go a little crazy. We're not getting into this detail. They say, why did the Rambam have to give an answer? The Rambam had a better answer. He should have just answered. Because I myself paskin that when it still has the skin on it, it's batal. And here it still has the skin on it. Remember, he said if it's mechusar hafshotas haor. So okay, basically everyone tries to figure out why the Rama didn't give a more abi. Why the Rama give a dochu gokimta when he could have given a pashin answer? Right? What's the question? The question is that balchai. Shenishchat Adayin Eino Batel Midin Chaticha Haruya Liskabed. The answer of the Ramah was an Okimta Dechuka. That it's Katan. The Eino Roy Liskabed, which is obviously pretty Dachuk. What he should have answered was that since it's b'chusser hafshatas ha'or, therefore it's not called a chaticha rilis kaved. Okay, the Shach, the Gra, all the Achronim off the page all try to come up with the answers for the Ramah. Why he didn't give the obvious answer, l'shitase, which he himself says, and why did he give the super dachuk answer? Okay, all the answers they give for the Ramah are a little dachuk. The Gra just says, the Ramah could have given the obvious answer. He just wanted to give an answer that worked for all the shittos, even the ones he didn't hold like. The Shach says something which I think is very dachuk in the Ramah. He says, what the Ramah was saying is that, of course, if it still has the skin on it, the hide on it, it is it's not ruyelis kabi. But it might still be a darshim a minion. And therefore, he has to say it's very small to make it not a darshim a minion. Okay, that's also based on a lot of assumptions. Lemaisa, it's a little dachuk why the Ramah gave this answer instead of the most obvious answer. And there's a lot of answers, but I don't know, why the Ramah really did it. Okay, so much for Torah Chashuv Mishein and Betel. Now, Rabosai, we're ready to move on to the sort of second topic. If you want to know, one of the topics in this segment don't know officially what it says in the beginning. In the beginning of the sentence said the topic is Din Suffolk Trefil She'ira Bebasar. Okay, not such a useful explanation. Not such a useful summary of what is found in our simon. It's a great question. The simple shot for Ashkenazim is that since Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokish argued within the Shita of Rabbi Meir, that proves that the Amoraim passed like Rabbi Meir. For the Rambam, it's a little tricky. Like, why do you pass like Rabbi Meir against Chacham? And there's a rule, Halach Rabbi Akiva. Right. So it's the Achronim really have some trouble explaining. Within the Rambam, if mainly he's going to forget Rabbi Meir and go with the Rove, then why did he pick Rabbi Akiva instead of the Chachamim? Okay, that's a good question. Unfortunately, the Rambam struggled with. Now, the first topic was Dvarim Chashuvim Inyanim Batalim. The next topic of sort of Sith Gimel through it's a little tricky. Okay, Gimel through Hey is Kavua, Vav and Zayin go back to Dvarim She'ein of the Talim, Dvarim Chashuv, and Ches and On is Sfeika Sfeika. Okay, so let's try and get into Kavua. Sif Gimel, very, very famous. Then, Teisha Chanuyos, Mokros Besar Shkuta, Ve'achas Beperes Besar Neveila, nine kosher butchers and one trade butcher. Lakach Me'achas Me'enyo Dem Ezolakach, you bought, you didn't pay attention, right? It's a little unclear how you don't pay attention, but okay, some people have lost mention. I don't know, you always have this, like, you know, clueless American. They come to Israel, they think everything's kosher, right? So they go to the shuk, and they said, oh, I bought meat from the store. Of which store? Is it a kosher one? Isn't everything kosher in Israel? No, there were two kosher stores and one trade store. Which one did you go to? So I don't know, I just went to a store. Okay, that's not much the case there. Right? So, what's the rule? Hareza Usser. It's Usser Shekol Kavua. Kamechza Al Mechza Dami. Since it's Kavua, the store is fixed in place. Therefore, it's Ke'ilu, it's 50-50. Aval Basar, Nims of a Shuk. But if you find a piece of meat in the Shuk, Obi Agai, you're in the hands of a guy. Mutter came in Shabrova Chanuiz Mochum Tzar Shkuta. Dechol, De Parish, Meruba Parish. Okay, this is the famous Kaluk being Kavua and Parish. Scientifically, it's exactly the same, right? If there are nine kosher stores and one trade store, and I go to a random store and buy, the odds are 90% of it's kosher. If I find a piece on the street, those are the only 10 stores in town. So the odds are still 90% that it's kosher. There's no scientific difference between them, but there is a halachic difference. In one case, the suffix was nolad bikvius. The suffix is nolad in the fixed location of the store. Therefore, there's a halacha that it's kemechza mechza tami. In the other case, the suffix is nolad biparish after it already separated from the makom kvius, after the one piece of meat separated. In that case, the halacha is we go by the roof. Okay, then he continues. Zeno din Torah b'chacham Yisrael fi shekal ha'shoftim kol mokom Yisrael and says the Ramah v'ayim le'el simen tzav gimel. This all d'oraisa midrabanan. There's a special gzeira called basar shenis alei min ha'ayim. Any meat that you took your eyes off, where choshes is treif, has a special gzeira d'rabanan, and that is discussed. Even if it's 100%, even if there are only kosher butcher stores in town, and there are no treif butcher stores, the odds are 100% it's kosher. There's still a gzeira d'rabanan that if you find it on the street and your eyes were not on it the whole time, you lost track of it, or someone lost track of it and you find it on the street or in the hands of a guy, it's treif. And the Ramah says, look, early in Simon Samach Gimel, there's a big machlokas in this fight in the Ashkenazim, you know, what we paskin about this this controversial concept called Basar Shetal Ayin, which we'll get to, Meretz Hashem. And the Ramah, the Hada Armina called the Parish Meruva Parish, Hainush Lo Pirish Lo Fanenu. When do we say called the Parish Meruva Parish if we didn't see it be Parish? Avalim Pirish Lo Fanenu, if we saw it be Parish, when we saw it be Parish, there are 10 butcher stores. I see, somehow there's someone slips, whatever. I see a piece of meat fly out the window of the butcher store into the street. But I didn't pay attention to which store it was because I just out of the corner of my eye saw that flying out of, you know, like that. It's not that clueless that why should I be paying attention? There's a bunch of butcher stores next to each other. I saw a piece of meat fly out the window. How should I know to pay attention? That's called parish befanego. On the one hand, I only pick up the piece of meat in the street when it's no longer in the stores. On the other hand, I saw the piece of meat when it was leaving the store. So if you go by what I saw it leave the store. If you go by what I touched, I only touched it when it was already in the street. Oh, Shabrosh HaGoy Lako, or I see a guy buying it. I see a guy going to the store, buy food, come out, then the guy drops it on the street. Again, I saw it in the store, but I only picked it up outside the store. That's called Paris Bifaneum. So says the Ramah, Havik Ilu Lako Misham Biyado. That is Kavua, as if you picked it up yourself, right? To the best of my knowledge, everyone agrees with this. It says, Mokrach, those were learned Sachem in the morning from Sachem. Daf Tes. If there are 10 piles, 9 piles of matzah, 1 pile of chametz, and a mouse takes from one of the piles and goes into the house, we call that Kavua Kavua. Ah, you didn't take it from the Makom Kvias. The mouse did, but since you saw the mouse take it, therefore that's Kavua. So that's Muskum on everyone. What is the Machlokes Achronim about this? There is still Machlokes Achronim. Let's see what the Machlokes Achronim is. Maybe we'll analyze it a tiny bit more. Here we have Kavua Kemechza al Mechzadam. Parish, we say instead, Kol de Parish, Meiruba Parish. Whatever was Parish came from the road. What about Parish Bifaneinu? Parish Bifaneinu equals Kavua. But what is the big Machlokes Achronim here? Anyone know what's the big Machlokes Achronim about this? That the Shach discussed in Sukkot and Chaf Beis and in Marami's a few other Sukkotans as well. Is this Doraisa or Darabana? When we say Parish Bifaneinu counts as Kavua, is it Doraisa counts as Kavua? Or no, it's only a Chomer Darabana that it counts as Kavua. So the Shach Sukkot and Chaf Beis, he quotes Machlokes between himself and the Bach. Right, this is the discussion of the Shach in Sifkat Nechaf Beis. The Bach says that it's only Kavua Midrabanan, meaning that's just a gzera. Since you saw it leave the Kvias, you might confuse it with you yourself taking it from the Kvias, but it's really only a Chomer Drabanan. We don't pass that way. The Shach quotes from the Torah Skatas, and the Shach himself there say, no, this is Kavua Midoraisa. If you saw it leave the Makom Kvias, that's as bad Midoraisa is taken from the Makom Kvias. There's no room to be makel, etc. It's a total Kavua Midoraisa. It doesn't necessarily come up that often how we pass him, but L'chora, we pass him like the Shach against the Bach in this Machlokas. It's interesting to think about. What's the Yisod of the Machlokas? L'chora, it seems to be the Yisod of the Machlokas is sort of, what's in the Kavua and Parsh? I don't mean Misvara, I just mean technically. Whether the latest Hasafik was the Makom HaKvias or the latest Hasafik was after it was Purish from the Makom HaKvias. If I find a piece of meat in the street, I know the doubt is which store it came from. But the latest Hasafik was when it was separate from the stores. If I go into a store, then the latest Hasafik is in the store. It's an interesting question. What is latest Hasafik determined by? Is latest Hasafik determined by what you know or what you do? I didn't physically pick it up or until it was already Purish. But I intellectually knew the suffix when it was leaving the Makom Kvias. So it could be this might tie into some of the other. I'm not saying it has to be the same. Some of the other discussions we have about Yedias Hatarubas, right? Yedias Bintel, etc. Right? Do we care more about the Yedia or about the conceptual, intellectual world or about the physical world? Okay, so the Bach would say, this is only Kavua Midrabanan. Mida Oraisa, it's not a suffix until you pick it up. So the suffix is no longer been parsed. It's only a Kavua Midrabanan. But the Shach and most posting would say, no. We care about the realm of, I guess you would call it, epistemology. As soon as you know there's a suffix, that's when the suffix is no lud. And therefore, the suffix is no lud. Makamakfias, we pass like the Shach, that we go by when you see the suffix being no lud, not when you pick off. The suffix is no lud when you see it, when you know it, not when you physically encounter it and pick it up. Okay. Now, let's just, yeah.
You see it at the time, but say you're in the store, you know they have a certain product, and you see it later on the street. Like, is that?
I mean, if you know which store it came from, then you know it's something.
But But I mean, how do you see it actually leaving?
Yes, yes. Meaning, if I find a piece of meat on the street, I know it had to come from a butcher shop. Where else did it come from? No, I have to see it leaving the street. I have to see it leaving the store. Right, when else could this come up? This could come up, for example, oh, let's say you have trees in your backyard. What if you have two kosher trees and one orla tree in your backyard? Right? And you find, oh, apple trees. Two kosher apple trees and one orla apple tree. If you find an apple on the ground, let's say it's not closer to one tree than the other, right? Because there is a din of karov. You find an apple on the ground, then you can eat it. Because called a parish, move a parish, two-thirds odds that it came from the kosher tree. Right? But what if you see an apple fall off a tree, but you don't notice which, and you see it on the ground? Then that's parish b'fanenu. You saw it fall off the tree. Then it's treif. And according to the Shach, which we have asked, like, it's even treif d'oraisa. Right? So these things could come up. By the way, I'm not getting into this. There's the most giant sugi in the world here about Arla nowadays. What if you buy produce without a hashgacha? Do you have to worry that it might be fruits? Vegetables, you don't have to worry there might be Arla because there's no such thing.
So where's the worry about if you're buying produce that there might be Arla? I do it with the cash for
that much. Maybe for Arla Saleh. But if you think about it, let's say I buy produce in Israel without hashgacha. So what's the worst that could be? Forget about Shemitah. I'm buying it now. The last Shemitah was 6 years ago, right? It could be Tevel. Right, what's the big deal if it's Tevel, right? We're all good. Do it yourself first. So you're not first if it's Tevel. No big deal, right? Tevel can be fixed. Remember like older Reformed Jews think like kosher means it was blessed by a rabbi? Like, they're right about Tevel. Right? The rabbi can bless it and it becomes kosher, right? They're not the other things, but like, yeah. All you need to do is for it to be blessed by. If you have a cucumber, all you need to do is be blessed by a rabbi and it's kosher. There's nothing to worry about. Question is, what if it's not a cucumber? What if it is an orange or an apple? Do you have to be kosher for Arla? After all, there is Arla in the world. Not in the world, in Israel, right? In the rest of the world, we have special cool and such as Arla, but in Israel. So this is a big subject you're not going to get into now. Which all comes back, on the one hand, you would think I could buy any produce anywhere in Israel. Mafish was right, so it's not a bracha misafik, and it's okay. What if it's shvius? It's not shvius because that was 6 years ago. What if it's Arla? I mean, next year it's going to be tricky, but this year. What if it's Arla? Rove is not Arla. Call the parish my Ruva parish. Right? Everyone knows. There is no species where Rove is Arla, to the best of my knowledge. Or at least no commonly bought species where Rove is Arla. Because, you know. I'm not talking about why it's okay, normal, right? That's why in the Mahajan stores they don't sell it at all. But okay, fine. Except for a few weird species, right? There are no species where it's Rove Arla. Most of the fruits we eat, it's a small magnia that's Arla. The question is, this question then becomes, but what about cases of Parsh? Or what about cases of Kavua? After all, trees are Kavua. And trees are Arla, they're Kavua, right? There is a treif tree and a kosher tree, just like a treif butcher shop and a kosher butcher shop. And someone went and took it from the Kavua. Maybe assuming someone went and took it from the Kavua, it now became Kemechzal Mechzitami. That might depend. Did a Goy take it from Kavua? Did a Jew take it from the Kavua? Was a Jew a from Jew or not from Jew? Does that make a difference? You know, when was the latest Asafik? For example, when the guy picked it from the tree, was there a latest Asafik? Or no, maybe whoever picked it from the tree knows what trees are Arla, and he's just not from it, doesn't care. It's only when he sold it to the distributor there's a latest Asafik, because he knows, but the distributor doesn't. So anyway, this is a big sugya halacha l'maisa nowadays. If you want, I can give you some arbekomos, but you should know the big sugya of whether you have to worry about Arla in the shuk nowadays, all is a function of teisha chanuyos, because the only tzad to be machmer in Arla, Rove is not Arla, except for papayas, right? There's some things like papayas, which, as a matter of fact, either are 100% Arla or 0% Arla, right? Because they all grow within the first 3 years. But some folks can say it doesn't count as a tree. But forgetting about that, right, there's a Chazon Ish who says anything that only grows fruit for 3 years has no Isser Arla. It's not Mestaber. There's an Isser Arla if it lives 3 years. But not everyone agrees. Okay, we're not getting into that. Anyway, Halacha L'maisa. It is just a tease, as it were, but you should know that the simple shot you would say is anything I buy is no shash orla, and I just have to, doesn't have to be a rabbi, by the way, be a layman as well. All I have to do is take trumas or maizos, be suffic, and it's kosher, but since trees are kavua like stores, right, there are kosher trees and treif trees this year. I mean, next year might be different. Every year it's different. But this year there are kosher trees and treif trees. Then the whole question was, is there a chashash that maybe someone took it from the kavua? And the suffix is nola b'makom hakvios, and that's a big, big, big mikzola b'halacha, which we're not going to get into now.
That applies, like, also if you're just driving on like a highway and someone's on strawberries on the side of the street.
Well, strawberries don't grow on a tree. Strawberries don't grow on a tree, on a tree, but let's say it's not strawberries. Let's say someone's selling. Let's say someone's selling. Olives, or much more common than that. Someone's selling berries, right? Berries grow on bushes, which are like trees. Let's say someone's selling berries on the side of the road. Not strawberries. Strawberries aren't berries, right? Someone's selling raspberries. Right? Someone's selling raspberries on the side of the road, or someone's selling fruits on the side of the road, plums on the side of the road, or grapes on the side of the road, right? And these are all things that are commonly sold on the side of the road. So trumas or maishos, no big deal. I'm not for myself. Do I have to be choshev for Orla? So that's a big debate among the poskim, because maybe the problem is that there were kavua Orla trees and or bushes or vines and kavua non-Orla ones, and someone went and took from the makom kvius. If a guy took from the makom kvius, it's no problem. We know you find the hands of a guy and a Jew wasn't watching, but what if a guy took and a Jew was watching? Or what if a Jew took from the makom kvius? So then it gets very, very complex. It is a big, big, big machlokas poskim. And I will, you know, anyone wants marmakomos, I can give you marmakomos. Halachalamaisa, the halachalamaisa, really, in the Ikra Din, there's a lot of stuff in the Hakel that you don't know, feel for. Or, like, I'm not talking about papayas or something, but about, you know, everything else. Except for, I don't know, in all the Mahajan stores, it says in the two dot they can't sell three fruits. I forgot what they are. So I'm not talking about those. Those also might be mustard, but that is nothing that's fake. That's more of just an orla chakira, you know, are things that don't live more than 3 years, orla or not. But many people are machmir, at least if there's there's enough orla in the shuk that there's enough orla in the shuk that it can be that we say it's a dover matzoi, which some people are machmir. There's 2% orla in the shuk, etc. Okay, and then there are people who publish every season, you know, what percentage of Arla there are in the shuk of every fruit. Yeah.
Why is it not partially by, even though it was that Jew, when you buy the source, it's partially not?
Because if one Jew takes from Makom Kvias and gives it to another Jew, it's already usher, because it was Mechza when the first Jew took it. So maybe if one Jew took it from Makom Kvias, it became Mechza in his hands, and when you buy it from him, it stays Mechza. Or maybe that depends if it's from or not. So that's itself a big machlokes up
front.
Some Jews say if he's not from Jew, he's like a guy, because he's pasul edus, and therefore whatever he knows is not considered public knowledge, and therefore that would be a big kula, right? Then as long as the from Jew bought a big parish, it's okay. But there are other achronim saying no, that if a Jew buys it. If a Jew takes it from the kvias, then it's kemechza mechza dami. Then you have a problem. Wow. Or even if a goyish worker took from kvias while the Jew was looking.
And if it was not from the Jew, why is that not known to the world?
Because since a non from Jew is pasul edus, it could be that wherever he's known is considered not known on the public level because we can't believe him. That's the big machlokes. The big machlokes is when it says here, if a Jew takes it, it's mechza mechza. But if a goy, if you find it in the hands of a goy, it's parish. How about a non-from Jew? Is the non-from Jew like a guy? Because his knowledge doesn't count as knowledge because of the psul edus, or does a non-from Jew count as a Jew because he still has to keep the Torah? Even if he doesn't, he has to.
That means not like that is not so
valid. So maybe he counts as a lead. The question is, when a non-from Jew takes it, does that count for the latest suffix? On the one hand, yes, because he's Jewish, he's shy after the Torah, so the latest suffix mikvias. On the other hand, no. Maybe there's no latest suffix mikvias here. So the latest suffix is only when a from Jew buys it. Because the non-from Jew, we don't believe what he says anyway, and therefore he doesn't really have a suffix. Because his knowledge is not significant. Okay, big machlokes on poskim. Okay, let's move on to a simple question. Why is Kol Kavuah Kemechza Mechza Dami? Obviously, everyone with you know, who's everyone who is psychologically healthy would understand that the svara is called the parish meruba parish. The chiddush is called kavua kemechza mechzatami, because we all know the odds are 90% that it's mutter. So why do we have such a chiddush? The answer is the darshan from the pesukim, right? The pasuk says the arav lo v'kama lav. By talking about the chi of misa v'rotseach, he ambushed him and he attacked him. Why does that say come alav? He specifically attacked him. So at the very least, the way the Chachamim, Rav Shimon is a little less clear, darshanit is the arav. Where is it? The other way around. Okay, the way the Gemara darshans it is the arav lo come alav. Pralazorg evenly go only if he specifically attacked this person, not if he just threw a rock into a group of people. What's the case of throwing a rock into a group of people? So the this Rav Shimon. Okay, so the Gemara explains if you have 9 Kananim and 1 Yisrael, and you throw a rock into that group of people, then logically You have 9 Yisraelim and 1 Kanani. And logically, we say 90% go by the rove and your chayiv misa. But there's a din called kavua kemechza mechzadami. Those people were each kavua in their place when you threw a rock at them. Therefore, we view it as if it's mechza mechza, mechza mechza. Therefore, you're potter and you don't get chayiv misa, which why the shach says kol kavua kemechza mechzadami is bein lachum rein lekula. In this case, it's the kula. The guy gets off and it's not chayiv misa. It could be a kula kol kavua kemechza mechzadami or a chomra. Usually, it's a chomra, but conceptually, this is true, bein l'kula, bein l'chomra. It's not like a knas, like we're mean to you and say, kol kavua kemechza mechzadami. Bein l'kula, bein l'chomra, kol kavua kemechza mechzadami. The Gemara never explains what's the svara for kol kavua kemechza mechzadami. The Shachir quotes from the a few times, the Ran and other poskim, what magic word does he quote about the svara status of kavua? Chiddush. Kavua is a chiddush. Chiddush means, right, generally, davar sosa or saklau. Right, something that goes against the normal rules. This is a svara, and this is a chiddush. Okay, not every Rishon and Achron writes that it's a chiddush. They might all agree. I haven't found anyone who writes it's not a chiddush. So it's always hard to tell when to make an argument from silence. But at the very least, many Rishonim and Achronim, the Shachar in quite a few places, said Kuh is a chiddush, and it seems to us to be a chiddush. The question is, as a chiddush. As a chiddush, what is the nature of that chiddush? So here it gets a little tricky. The Achronim go to town, all trying to give svaras for kavua. I don't mean svaras. If you really give a good svar, it's not kavua. But I mean a svar like you explain why this really makes sense, and we would have said so on our own, even without a drush pasuk. No, clearly it's a chiddush. Or even like, why, it might have made sense. You know, if you pulled like, you know, 20 goyim, you know, one of them would have said this on their own just using logic. No. Zero of them would have said this on their own. It's clearly a chiddush. The question is, within that chiddush, there's some conceptual framework for that chiddush or not. Does it fit into some conceptual category? Does a chiddush have put it into a conceptual category that it wouldn't have been in? Or is it just a chiddush stam with no conceptual category whatsoever? So here, we're not so clear. You could say, still, what's the conceptual nature or conceptual basis? You could say none. It's mamish, just magic. If the odds are 90 to 10 or 9 to 1, we pretend the odds are 50-50. Kemechza mechzadami. None. We just pretend that the odds are 50-50. Okay. Most of the Achronim are not so satisfied with that. They try to give some sort of svara, and basically say, it's not that we pretend the odds are 50-50. It's that we can't use the rule of rove here. After all, every suffix is like 50-50. What does 50-50 mean? It doesn't mean we think the odds are 50-50. That's stupid. Why would the odds be 50-50? It means that it's an unresolved suffix. Metza metza just means unresolved suffix. Why is it an unresolved suffix? You can't use the rule of rove. Once you can't, after all, Rov is a chiddush, right? The Gemara in Chulin, Daf, Yud, asks, how do we know there's a rule of Rov? We know the answer already, right? We darshan Machrei Blahatos, and then the Gemara makes it more complicated. But according to Rashi, that's Maskana, the Gemara. But what if there's no rule of Rov? Then every suffix would be Kemechza Mechzadami. Let's say the Torah hadn't said a rule of Rov. then every suffer good gemechtza mechtzadami, right? That's so crazy. So really, doesn't mean pretend the odds are 50-50. Rather, it just means that the rule of rove doesn't apply. And every unresolved suffix, regardless of what the odds are, I would say better. Every suffix is halachically kemechza al mechza dummy if there is no rule that resolves it. Right? If the Torah hadn't said rove, every suffix you kemechza mechza, so that's pashut. To me, it's pashut. That it doesn't mean we pretend it's mechza mechza. I mean, I don't even know if anyone says this. Right? It doesn't mean like we're stupid and the odds are 90%, but we pretend they're 50%. No, we would never do that. It means that there's a suffix. Every suffix is like 50-50, and that it's a suffix. There are two sides to a suffix. If the Torah hadn't said Abraham Lahatos, every suffix would be like 50-50. Not that we think the odds are 50-50. Just every suffix is two equal sides of equal halachic valence until proven otherwise. However, the Torah gives us ways to prove otherwise, like rove. If rove doesn't apply, then it's kemechza mechza. So no one thinks it's mamish 50-50, I think this is pashut in my svara. That we don't pretend it's 50-50. It's just a rove without a resolution. A suffix without a resolution. A suffix without a resolution has halachically as a status of 50-50, regardless of what the odds actually are. That's what Shiv Schmeitzer points out. He says, when we say something is a suffix, a shuckle, an even suffix, sometimes we mean we checked and the odds are 50-50. Sometimes it means we don't know the odds are 50-50. We just have no way of resolving it. You know, it's been a shmushel's day or night. We don't know what the odds are. We don't know, so we call it 50-50. Or we could call it 50-50 if we so desired. No. There's only an Hesper. The question is, why does the rule of rove not apply? Right? Here's where all the Achronim have shut in. Why does the rule of rove not apply? Just because it is Kavuah. And everyone has their own shot. I will tell you my shot, which I think, if you look inside, is Meduyik in the Rashba, based on the what all the Rishonim say in the 8th paragraph of Zochim. The Gemara in the 8th paragraph of Zochim says, if you have one puzzle animal that gets mixed with kosher animals, it could be Nisra Nod, and with other animals, an animal is puzzle for Hakrova with other kosher animals, then it's not Batal, because Balei Chaim are not Batalim. But that's only Bikvios. When they're Kavua and the Tarovis. If one of them runs away from the Tarovis, that's called Parish, and called the Parish, maybe a Parish. So, all the Rishonim asked, what do you mean when the herd of cows is together, it's Kavua, but if one of them runs away, it's Parish? When the herd of cows together, it's not Kavua. Cows aren't Kavua, they're just milling around together. There's nothing Kavua about them, especially since almost all Rishonim say Kavua is only when it's recognizable, which is also which is butcher, like the butcher stores, right? Everyone knows. Which is also which is much you didn't pay attention. Right? Here, no one knows which one is one, and they're not even kavua in a place. So they all say, no, this doesn't mean kavua d'oraisa, this means kavua d'rabbanan. Any dover chashav that's not batal is called kavua d'rabbanan. We apply the same rules. When you go to the tarovis, it's like 50-50. If it separates from the tarovis on its own when you're not looking, then call the parish, maybe we'll parish. Okay. Based on that, it's interesting. The one thing the Gemara compares to Kavua on a Drabana level is the Tarovas of a Dover Chashiv Sheino Batal. That's also called Kavua. It's also called Kavua. So, what it sounds like for the Rashba is that I think you can say that that's maybe the Yesod of Kavua D'Oraisa as well. What's the difference between Kavua D'Oraisa and Kavua D'Rabbanan? Here I'm going to say something which doesn't mean what it sounds like. In Halacha, the answer to a question often depends on how you ask the question. I don't mean that in the sort of sociological way. I don't know if you ask the question nicely, the rabbi will give you a mutter answer or something like that. That is not what I mean at all. What I mean is that in halacha, the answer to a question doesn't depend just on science. It depends on halachic principles for what is the proper halachic way to formulate the chefza of this question. And let me illustrate that. What's the difference in kavua and parsh? When you ask a question here, I will, okay, many achronim say something different for me. What's the difference between kavua and parsh? It's sort of obvious. The question is, what is the chefza of your question? Right? So one shot is, when it's parsh, what is your question about? That's easy. The chefza is one what? Exactly. Is one chaticha. Is the chaticha. Okay. And the answer is the chaticha is called the parsh when we parse. It's probably mutter. How about in kavua? What's the chefza when it's kavua? So one way of understanding this is how Rav Chanan and others, I don't know if any of the morning shiur we saw this, said the chefza is the chanot. When the chefza is the chaticha, you could use rov. When the chefza is the chanot, you can't use rov. Could be. But I want to say a little differently. Because why can't you use rov when the chefza is the store? Why can't you use rov when the chefza is the store? After all, rov tells you the store is more likely to be kosher than to be treif. I want to say a different shot. Very simple. When it's parish, the chefza the chaticha. And the answer is the, right? And what do you say then? You say it's likely kosher. It's likely kosher. Okay, so what's kavua? Clearly, the kavua is the chefta, is not the chaticha. So what is the chefta? So one way of saying is the chefta is the store. All the store is also likely to be kosher. But for some reason, when the chefta is the store, the rule of rov doesn't apply, and we don't say it's likely to be kosher. Right? Can't use rov. It's not exactly clear why I can't use rov. After all, this store is more likely to be kosher than to be treif. I went to a store. I don't know which store. It's 90% likely the store is kosher. Okay, fill in a svar if you want. I don't really have a svar. I want to say a different shot in kavua. Simple question. Remember the guy who went to one of the 10 stores. If I find a piece of meat on the street, I go to the rabbi. You don't actually need a rabbi. It's a halachic system. And I say, I have a question about a certain chefza. What's that chefza? This piece of meat in my hand. Is it kosher or treif? The answer is, you have a question about a chefza. It's 90% likely to be kosher. How about if I say, I have a question about what? Well, I have a piece of meat. Where'd you get the piece of meat? I got it from a store. So your question is really about the store. Okay. Which store do you have a question about? What's the answer? I don't know which store. If I knew which store I had a question about, I would just go to the store and check if it has a tuda on the wall. You know, and check if it's kosher or treif. I just go into the store and ask the guy. I would say, do you sell kosher meat or treif meat? If I knew which store it was, I would retrace my steps, go to the store. You know, and I would ask the guy, and you know, if it was a guy behind the counter with a long beard and payas, and he says we only sell Eid Haredis meat, then I'll be fine. And you know, if it's a Russian speaking guy behind the counter who says, "What do you mean we sell pork here? That's we do our business," then it won't be fine or anything in between. But I don't know which store I went to. What do I know? The only thing I know is that I went to one of this group of 10 stores, right? What did I go to? What's the heft of my suffix? The heft of my suffix is not a piece. It's not really a store. I don't know which store I went to. The heft of my suffix is really the tarovis of stores. The only thing I know to is I went to this group of stores. And that way, it's very similar to the original mucker. What was the original mucker in the drush of the chorus? I threw a rock at a group of 10 people. What's the point? The suffix is... It's not that I threw a rock at a particular person and have a suffix about him. I just threw a rock at a group. I treated them as one group. I treated them as one conglomerate, as one tarovis of people. What I want to claim is this, is that the heftza is, what is the heftza of the suffix? The heftza is the Arovis of Chanuyos, the group of Chanuyos. That's my claim in Kavua, that there are only two intelligent ways to explain Kavua. Again, you could say it's just Xeris and also magic voodoo that retreat is 50-50. I don't love that. I don't really know if any of them would say that. Or you could say, no, it's a different cheft of a suffix. A different cheft of a suffix part is different treatment. You could say Chaticha versus Chanot. I'm not sure why you can use rogue about a chaticha, not about a store. Lots of achronim say things. But I think that's not it. It's one chaticha versus all the chanuyot. Because the whole chap is that I don't know which chanuyot I went to. I went to all the chanuyot. I don't know which store I went to. All I know is I went to the group of stores. That's very similar to throwing the rock into a group of people. And certainly according to Rashi, Rashi says, it's a machlokas, Rashi, I don't know what the case is. We know who you hit with the rock. We just don't know who you aimed at. That's the suffix. What do you mean suffix who I aimed at? It's not a suffix who I aimed at. I didn't aim at someone and I don't know who. I aimed at everyone, right? I really aimed at a tarovis. Right? The Yavrama says the suffix is who I hit. Like, we never identified. Rash says we know who I hit. We just don't know who I aimed at. The real answer is I aimed at a tarovis. I didn't aim at anyone. I mean, you could conceptualize it. I aimed at someone I didn't know who. But I didn't really. I just aimed at everyone. And I went to the stores. And likewise, that would explain why a tarovis of Dover Chashav is called Kavua Midrabanan. Because it's a tarovis of things. Let me just add one thing. So why can't I use the word, the utensil of robe by the tarovis of stores? Because if I went to all the stores, then that becomes a question of bittul robe. Right? Then why can't I use the robe? That's obvious. Because a tarovis can only be resolved by bittul. And so what are you going to say? Meaning, how do you resolve a tarovis? You say it's all kosher, it's all treif, or it's unresolved, and it's still kemechzal mechzadami. Any tarovis that you can't be mevatel is kemechzal mechzadami. Because halachically, it has two identities. A tarovis can only be resolved by bittul. Let's say it's a little better. Can I be mevatel the treif store to the kosher stores? What do you think? Can I be mevatel the treif store to the kosher stores and say all 10 are kosher? Why not? Why can't I say all 10 are kosher? It's a because no, but in every tarovis it's not true. If I mix one treif meatball with two kosher meatballs, we all know it's not true. They're all kosher, but they're all kosher anyway. That's the halos of bittul. What? Why is it not a mixture? Because it's nicker. It's nicker. Because I know which one is which. Right? It's nicker which one is which. You could go further say one with kavua and two kosher. The simple shot is that. That you can't be mevatel the treif store because it is nicker. Certainly, nicker and komo is what a lot of the rishonim say. How can you can't say all the stores are kosher? That's ridiculous. It's nicker and komo. It's nicker, and therefore, what we have here is tarovis without bittul. What's the status of a tarovis without bittul? It has a treif identity, a kosher identity. If a tarovis doesn't have bittul, that tarovis has a status of mechzal mechzal. There's two identities that clash, and neither one outweighs the other. Right? Once you can't be mevatel, therefore, so it is an unresolved tarovis, just like an unresolved suffix. Which is an identity, which is a two. Contradictory identities. Two contradictory identities are kemechza al mechza. Not that the odds are mechza al mechza, the chefza is mechza al mechza. Because this is a cheft of tarovis where neither side is about to the other side. Whenever you have a tarovis where neither side is about to the other side, al pidin, once you don't have a rule of rove, every tarovis is kemechza mechza, and every suffix is mechza mechza, unless you have a rule of rove to resolve it. So my taina, inspired by the original case of throwing the rock, where I'm really throwing it to a group of people, and inspired by the drabbanan extension that they call every, what are the rabbanan called kavua? When a cow gets mixed with other cows, and now it's not bottle. Okay, basically, midrabanan, any tarovis where it's not bottle is called kavua. Why? Rav Shechter would ask, why would the rabbanan go through the rechus was not bottle with tarovis? Remember, Rav Shechter has a sort from the Rav that every zero drabanan. Anyone here go to YU? Has to be an extension of a conceptual yisod found in the Torah, in the Raisa Tikkun. What's the case of the Raisa Tikkun for Dabar Chashma not being Batel? The answer to me is Pashat. is kavua. Kavua means something's not batel. And midrabanan, they extend it, and even to dover that's not nikar and that doesn't have a fixed makom. Anything that's chashav is not batel. Okay, lemaisa, you can say whatever you want. Lanias daiti, I think that's the yisodu kavua. The yisodu kavua is clearly, we're not asking about the piece of meat. Once you ask about the piece of meat, it's stupid to say that there's no roof. Either there's some reason why when you ask about a store as opposed to meat, you can't use the rule of rove, or no. If you were to ask about the store, you could use the rule of rove, but you can't ask about a store because you don't know which store you went to. All you know is that you went to a group of stores, and the group of stores, you can't use the rule of rove, because once you have a group, then we're talking about bittel barov, and in bittel barov, you can't be mavatel something. Midrabanan, you can't be mavatel anything chashuv. Midoraisa, you can be mavatel something chashuv, but not if it's identifiable, whether it's kosher or treif. Not if it's nicker, which is what all the Mishonah, right? That Kavua Doraisa is only if it's nicker, right? Like the famous proof of the Sefer Krisos. Sefer Krisos, the Rashbi Kinon, one of the Bali Tosos, wrote a book about Folia Shas, and he asked the following annoying question. He says, okay, he wants to have a diok that there was once an Eglah Rufa in Jewish history. Let's grant him his diok. If there was once an Eglah Rufa, then what? Where was that Egel Ne'ref? Eglah Ne'refet? In a Nachalisan. And what's the rule of that Nachalisan from now on? Ah, you're not allowed to plant there. Where is it? We don't know. But it's Kavua. It's a valley. So there's some valley in Israel that you're not allowed to plant in, and it's Kavua. And it's, there's a lot of valleys that you can plant in, but we don't know which is Kavua. So Kamek Sametzah, you're not allowed to plant in Israel. That's the Kash of the Rush. You can only answer, no. Kavua Kamehtzador is only when it's nicker. Like the store that you know is trade for the tree that you know is Arla, etc. Here, if it's not nicker, and that's why almost all the Rishonim say, if it's not nicker, that's not Kavua. What? Yes. Yeah, okay, that's, if that was the Svara, then anti-Zionism would be in big trouble.
Why is it not nicker? Why is anyone not nicker than the Svara? All valleys are the same. Is that all sorts of the same?
No, what do you mean? You just didn't pay attention. But the Treif store has a sign that says Treif. The kosher store, it doesn't have to be a sign. Those things are signs. Everyone knows which store is kosher or Treif. You just didn't pay attention. But over here, no one knows. Like, whoever knows died 2,000 years ago. Okay, Lemaisa, that's what I think is the svar for Kavua, but in the svar, it's still a chiddush. You can take it or leave it. But that's my shot. I am fairly convinced that that's the svar for Kavua, but you can take it or leave it. Let's go through a few details then. What are some details I want to talk about? We talked about Parsha Faneinu. Here I'm going to cheat a little, take something from Sif. Hey, here is a following really, really big machlokas. The following really big machlokas is, So again, Kavua de Oraisa is Teisha Chanumios. To use the language of Rishonim is that the Isser is Nikar Bimkom. The Isser has a fixed place where it's identifiable. Everyone but you knows what it is. If you're an idiot, that's the word Oraisa. Doesn't have to be an idiot, right? Remember, you can have three trees. One is Arla. You notice something falling off the tree and you just didn't notice which tree it fell off, right? Supposed to pay attention at that moment. Okay, what is Kavua Durabanan? Kavua Durabanan is a taroves of a chaticha rulis kaved, you know, vechadom, right, or balchayim, etc. That's Kavua Durabanan. If you mix a chaticha rulis kaved with 20 chatichos, if you mix a tray chaticha rulis kaved with 20 kosher chaticha rulis kaved, or a tray live animal with 20 kosher live animals, that's Kavua Midrabanan. There's one case which is sort of in between, which is super duper controversial what it is. What about the following case? What if this is a case that's dealt with a few times in the afternoon here, so we might as well discuss it. What if you have a now how is Kavua D'Oraisa? There aren't that many cases of Kavua D'Oraisa. Stores, trees, sometimes people are Kavua D'Oraisa, meaning you go to someone's house and you don't know if you went to a Jewish house or a Goyish house, etc., you could have paid attention to whose house it was. What? No, that's not Kavuta Raisa, like what the Gita knows you could see. If it gets mixed with other Gita, then it's not Nick. Okay, what about the following case that they all discuss? What about the following case? You have 10 stores, right? 10 stores, and one is treif, but nobody knows which. This is a very common thing that happened in the old days. Why? Imagine the old days, you had 10 stores. Each store had a butcher. That butcher woke up in the morning, slaughtered a cow, and chopped it up to sell in his store. And, I mean, this is so many cases in the Bizei Tshuva and the Shach and the earlier Achronim even. And, you know, they all had these weird pieces of the cow. More weird, less weird, whatever. I don't know. Let's say they all had the stomachs. There's one guy who makes hot dogs, has a hot dog factory. So he buys all the stomachs and stuff to bring to his hot dog factory. So he ran around to all 10 stores. He bought the 10 stomachs. He went to his hot dog factory, and as he was about to make them into hot dogs, he noticed there was a needle poking through one of the stomachs, which made a hole in the stomach lining without getting into all the other trefos and the treif. But there's no way to know which of the 10 animals it was from. Now we know one of the 10 butcher shops is treif, but nobody knows which. And there's no way to find out. It's not like the class case kavua. It's not nicker, right? But it is kavua in a place. It's kavua, like that store that's treif is in a fixed place, but it's not nicker, right? What's unique about this case? That it's kavua bimkomo, but it's not nicker. What's the status of this case? Is this called kavua kamechza mechtzadami or not? Ah, so that depends if the butchers chopped it into small pieces or big pieces, right? What if all 10 stores only sell chopped meat? So it's all chopped up, right? So this is a tremendous machlokas. One second, what was I just looking for? Okay, well, just go through two sheets for now. In Sifhei, the Bach and the Darki Moshe and the Prisha, all while trying to explain the all while trying to explain the Torah. So says the Bach and the Darkei Moshe and the Prisha trying to explain the Torah in Sifhei all say that this is called Kavua. It's called Kavua because the Isser is Kavua in a certain place. Even though it's not Nicker, it's called Kavua. That's not clear if they say Kavua Daraisa or Kavua Midrabanan. The Shach discusses that here in Sif Gimel. He quotes he says that is Kavua Midrabanan. Not sure. Give me a second. However, the Shach is not so convinced. The Shach is not so convinced. The Shach over here, Sukkot Yudalid, is not so convinced of that. All the Mishonim say differently, right? So, let's say the Shach in Sukkot Yudalid, I'll pi the Mishonim, and here I'll say Lehalacha the Lola Maisa. Because later on, the Shach discusses in three places. The Gavim Dali says, they're for sure wrong. They're against all the Rishonim. the but in Sukkot Yud Zayin and Sukkot Chafes, he nonetheless passes like them the Maisa. He says, no, this is not Kavua. What's the din if it's not Kavua? Okay, let's say the simple shot is, if it's not Kavua, then it depends if they chopped into big pieces or small pieces. If it's big pieces, the real topic is Kavua D'Oraisa. And if it's small pieces, then it is a Batel Beruv. It's not Kavua. Rather, if it's Chatifa Rulis Kabed, then it's Kavua Midrabanan. It's Eino Batel. And if it's small pieces, then if it's small pieces, then they are Batelim Beruv. If they chop into small pieces, since 90% of the pieces are kosher, they're all kosher, batel berov. If they chop into big pieces, rilis kabe, then it's not batel berov, it's what's called kavua d'rabanan, the lashon of the poskim. Halacha l'maisa, this is the big machlokas. Tosos and the Rashi became known, and the Rashi and all the Rishonim, came out all the Rishonim, say that if it's not nicker, that's not kavua. Okay, what is it? It's just a regular tarobus of pieces. The bentos are rilis kabe, not rilis kabe. But a lot of the achronim, based on, I'm not exactly sure what it's based on, because Misfar, it's not so mekruch. And even in the Torah, like, there's no hint, direct hint of this. But nonetheless, a lot of the Achronim want to be machmer on this. This could come up in halacha l'maisa, weird halacha l'maisa cases. The Aruch HaShulchan here says, no, we got to go back to the Rishonim, and to what the Shach really thought Misfara, and he was Mekel. The Aruch HaShulchan, he was Mekel, and which 20th century post-sake likes to go back to the Pshat of the Gemara and the Rishonim? Even more than that? The Chazan Ish says, Dabar Pashat, in Simon Lamed Zayin, Sif Yud Beis, and Sif Chof Aleph, was Mekel, the Padi HaShulchan was Mekel, he's very, he defers a lot to the Chazan Ish. So, the Aruch HaShulchan, the Chazan Ish, says, no, we gotta go back to the Rishonim, the Padi HaShulchan also. Okay, you'll find different things in different sfarim nowadays, but on local mics, it really seems to me that the vast majority shita of the Rishonim is that it's not called kavua if the isra is not nicker, right? Even if the isra is in a fixed place over here, the treif store is kavua in the place. It's cemented to the ground. It's attached to the ground. We just no one knows which it is. So that would be the equivalent of what if you have a field with one arla tree. And no one remembers which tree is Arla. Right? Not that some people know, but you don't. That's Kavua D'Oraisa. No one knows which tree is Arla. They lost track, and you can't tell by looking. So, that, according to these Darkei Moshe and Bach and Prisha's shot in the tour a little later, is Kavua D'Oraisa, Kamasa Master Dummy. But really, we pass it out that way. The most modern Achron of the Basrei pass it out that way. They go back to what the Rishonim say, the Rosh Kinon's proof from the Nachal Esan, what Tosa says all over Shas, what the Rashba says all over Shas, what all the other Rishonim say, says it's only called Kavu if the Isra is Nikr. Otherwise, it's not Kavu D'Oraisa. Midrabanan, that depends. If it's big pieces, then it's Kavu D'Rabanan, because big pieces are not Batel and Tarukas. And if it's small pieces, then it is Mutter. That is the simple shot. And it could be, that's not clear to me, but it's possible even some of the Achronim might admit we passed that way. They were just explaining the Torah, although it's not 100% clear. Okay, let me discuss one other issue at least before we call it a day that comes up in the Shacharis of Katan Yudalit, Big Machlokas, which is called Kavua L'Mafreya. What does Kavua L'Mafreya mean? It means I went and bought from the stores. I went and bought from the stores. All 10 stores are kosher. So I went and bought from a store, and I didn't pay attention to which store I went to, because why should I? All 10 stores are kosher. Then I got home with a piece of meat that was parish, and it was then revealed that one particular store, we know which store, perhaps one particular store was treif. Right? That is... meaning, what did Kavula Mafreya? The latest asafik was after it was already parished. But I realized there was a latest asafik from Kavua. to a certain extent, is the opposite of the question of parsha b'faneinu. Although the achronim are not going to work out, right? Intellectually, the suffix is only nola b'parish, but physically, the suffix is nola b'kvias. So that's kavula refreya. What does kavula refreya mean? It means that that lakach mimakom kvias before the latest hasafik, right? The suffix was only nolad achar shabalsar pirish minakavua. Right? This is classic, right? Muncie Butcher Shilas. Do you guys remember Muncie Butcher? You're old enough? Right? Someone lives in Muncie. Some people grew up in Muncie. And some people, again, it's very traumatic. Some people grow up, for those who don't live in Muncie, it was geschmack, because the Shilas were so geschmack. And the lungs and everything, but one man's geschmack is another man's trauma, depending on, you know, if you're the person involved. There might be a guy in Muncie who buys meat at 5 different stores. He has meat in his freezer. He shops at 5 different stores. All 5 are kosher. So no problem. He's from Yen in Muncie. All of a sudden, one butcher shop is revealed to be treif. Now, what about that piece of meat in his freezer? What about that piece of meat in his freezer? The odds are 4/5 that he bought from a kosher store. But what do you say? If you go to Mafreya, you say he went to a store, didn't pay attention which one, and he doesn't know if he bought in the Muncie Butcher store or the regular butchers in Muncie. The Muncie Butcher, capital Muncie Butcher, or lowercase Muncie Butcher store. Do you say Mafreya was kavua, kemetza metza? But you say, no, right now it's parish, it's sitting in my freezer. Right now, color version of parish, the odds are 80% that it's mutter. Good question. This was one of the many halachic factors that went into the discussion of the Muncie Butcher Shilas. Basically, why do we care more about this? Most people would have just thrown out the piece of meat. Then the question is, what about the pots I cooked the meat in, the dishes I ate the meat on, et cetera, et cetera. You know, there are all these interesting questions. Okay, there are two main factors involved. One is the question of, we're not sure when, there's 3 main questions. One, we're not sure when he started selling treif. They can narrow it down, but they're not sure. Number 2 is people aren't sure which store they bought from. Number 3 is even the Muncie butcher, he sold some kosher and some treif so that people, you know, wouldn't totally notice when they saw that no kosher supplier was making deliveries to him. You know, he needed to be able to say he bought from a kosher wholesaler. So he didn't buy some kosher. Okay, so he bought some kosher. So okay, all these spekos made it very, very complex and late in the day. The mice, there's a lot of room to remake them, especially in the kalim, which are expensive. You can necessarily kosher them. That was very, very late. Anyway, this is one of the shilas. This is the classic of Kavula Mafreya, right? Classic of Kavula Mafreya. What's the din of Kavula Mafreya? So here we have a 2 or 3 way machlokas rishonim. What's the 2 or 3 way machlokas rishonim? Let's just see the shitas. Says, basically, do you say Kavula Mafreya? Says the Ran and Pshat of the Rashba, according to everyone in the world, but the Shach. So one shita is the Ran and Pshat of the Rashba. The Rashba. Pshuto Mekel Kol. Oh, it doesn't matter. The Pshat of the Rashba says one of the rules is anyone know connect the Chiddush, the word Chiddush, to the word Lamafreya? Anyone? Which Sugin Shas connects the word Chiddush to the word Lamafreya? Exactly. If Eid Zomim Chiddushu, then we only pass the Mechadal Haba, not Lamafreya, because you don't say Chiddush Lamafreya. Okay, you have to look at Ruach Hanan there, who says maybe that's Machlokas by Rabba, maybe it's not. A couple of the other Machshivas say the Machlokas is whether Eid Zomim is a Chiddush. Ruach Hanan says maybe it's a Machlokas when they say Chiddush Lamafreya, but that's not our Sugin now. They say Chiddush, you don't say Chiddush Lamafreya. They say that, no, we don't say Kavua l'mafreya, and therefore it's mutter. Right? Call the parish be ruva parish. You don't go back to mafreya and call it kavua. And one of the reasons is because a chiddush don't say mafreya. The opposite side of the coin is the ra'ah. The ra'ah, the Ben Kabaya says, nope, that we do say kavua l'mafreya, and therefore it would be usher. And the middle shita is the shach, which he claims is mafurish in the Rashi and Shmaris Abayis. If you look, all the people in smaller font, all the later achronim say they don't know what the shach means because the Rashi never actually said that. But If you look at the shot, the his shot in the his shot in the Rashba.
He says it depends. In Kavua Mita or Raisa, an actual Tisha Hanu is like the Muncie Butcher.
Muncie Butcher is Mamish Kavua da Raisa. Right? Muncie Butcher is Mamish Kavua da Raisa. In a case of Kavua da Raisa, then we do say Lama Freya.
And it would be Usher. He would be Machmer in the Muncie Butcher case. Like he would say the Rashmer are both Machmer. Right, the both Bar Pluktas, the Hatfields and the McCoys both agree that in the Muncie Butcher case, which Kavu Daraisa, right, it's Nicker and Komo. It's Mamish. We know which one. Now we know the one store is straight, the nine stores are kosher. We'd say Kavu Lamafreya. However, in Kavu Drabanan, such as what's the case Kavu Drabanan? You buy from one store. There's only one butcher. You buy from the butcher store, and he shechted 10 animals, and it turns out he realizes after you got home that one of the animals he shechted is treif, and all the pieces were big enough to be ruin l'skabed. So as Daro was a chatiyus l'skabed, 10% of which were treif. That's kavod rabbanan. Really, midaraisa it's batal barov, but midrabbanan chatiyus l'skabed is not batal. So in kavod rabbanan, aim omrim l'mafreya by kavua, by kavu midrabbanan, we don't say l'mafreya. Okay, so those are the three deos. Halacha l'maisa.
I'm not exactly understanding this. When you say kavua d'rabbanan, you're just saying since the halachic concept is a d'rabbanan construct, so we call that kavua d'rabbanan.
By kavua d'rabbanan is just another word for davar chashuv being a batal.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is in the eighth paragraph of Zvachim, and in the posting is called kavua midrabbanan. It just means it's not actually kavua. It's a davar chashuv. Kavua midrabbanan just means davar chashuv. Halach l'maisa, the shach paskins like his own shita. However, many achronim, the Prima Gadim says we can be somech on the Ran and the real Rashba of Hefsi Meruba, but the Prichadosh and the Orcha Shulchan and many poskim are more mekel. And they say, no, the Rashba, he had a strange child in the shach, or we know maybe he had a bed gears in the shach, I have no idea. I mean, he lived in the age of printing, so probably the same gears in the shach that we do. Maybe he just, for some reason, has strange chat in the shach. I never saw a copy of the shach printed before the Rashba. Actually, I don't know. I don't know when the Rashba was printed. Maybe in a manuscript of the Rashba. After all, the shach had a lot of Rishonim in a manuscript. Not every Rishon was printed. By his, I don't know. Maybe it had gears in the Rashba. Maybe he just had a strange shot in the Rashba. But in our Rashba, it doesn't say that. So the Pri Chadash is Meikel Legamrei, the Aruch HaShulchan, right here is Meikel Legamrei. The simple pshat is that we would not say Kavola Mafreya. Keep in mind, even the Shach, the simple pshat is that we wouldn't say Kavola Mafreya. Okay, the simple pshat doesn't come up all the time. And Alach Lamaisi, you'd want to have other Tzadim L'Hakel, but certainly the more authoritative, the more mainstream pshat among the modern-day posters that we would not say Kavola Mafreya. Like the Pri Chadosh and the Aruch HaShulchan, even though no one holds like the Rama. No one says Kavula Mafreya by a Davar Chashuv in a bottle. The only question by real Kvias, like Muncie Butcher. By real Kvias, would anyone say Kavula Mafreya? Meaning, you took from the Kvias when there was no Leidus HaSafik. Then you brought it home, and then it was Leidus HaSafik. So the Leidus HaSafik was after it was Parish, but the Mafreya, you could say that when you took it from the Kvias, there was a Safik. When you go back to Mafreya and say it's a Safik in the Kvias, the Shach, no one would say it by Kavod Rabbanan, which is another word for saying Davar Chashuv in a bottle. What about real Kvias? The Shach would say it by real Kvias del Raisa. Most Achronim would not. The mainstream halacha is like most Achronim, that we would not say Kavod Mafreya at all, even though, you know, it would be more comfortable if there were other Sadim L'Hakel, but certainly at the Muncie Butcher Shailas, you know, the majority halachic opinion is that, now, some people knew where they shopped, etc. But if mamish, you don't know where you shopped and you have something and you don't know where you bought it, then the mainstream halachic opinion would be like the Ran and the real Rashba that all the Achronim point out that we don't say Kavua L'Mafreya. Okay, let me just point out one thing so we can finish up Seif Gimel. The one last thing is the Pesachim Chuvos of Katan Beis has a fascinating question about Kol DeParish Meruba Parish. Nothing to do with Kfis. 9 stores sell kosher, 1 sells treif, and you find a piece of meat on the street. Kol DeParish Meruba Parish. Do we go by how many stores there are? Or how many kilograms of meat the stores sell? What if there's one store that sells treif, but it sells 1,000 pounds a day? There's 9 stores that sell kosher, they each sell 100 pounds a day. Most stores are kosher, but most meat sold is treif, or vice versa. So do you go by the amount of meat or by the number of stores? In Shas, they only talk about the number of stores. But then the Akronim starts saying, but logically, who cares how many stores there are? We care how much meat they sell, right? Like, logically, there's one little store that only sells a few pieces of meat a day. How does that count the same as a big, giant, operation that sells 1,000 pounds of meat every hour? It just depends how much meat is circulating, not how many stores there are. This is a big machlokas in the Achronim. Halacha l'maisa, the known to be who just put in the Pesei Tshuva, seems to say, like, it's very hard to resolve this and be machlokas both ways. Halacha l'maisa, it's very hard, because, like, all the makoros say you go by the number of stores, but, like, logically, you should go by the amount of meat. Usually, every store sells same order of magnitude of meat, but if it really come to a case, after all, what if you have 6 kosher stores and 5 treif stores, and the 5 treif stores do a little more business than 6 kosher stores, right? You could have spaces like that. That would be very, very hard. The chur would have to be offered both ways. It's, very unclear. Therefore, if you find a piece of meat in the street, it's more likely to be from that store, no? Yes. How much volume they do every day. Like, isn't it logical that if you find a piece of meat on the street, it's more likely to be from the store that sells more meat? Like, there's more pieces of meat circulating, right? So this is also tricky. This goes back to in halacha, the answer depends how you ask the question, right? Do you ask the question of what are the, how do you count rove? You count rove by rove meat circulating in the world, in the city today, or rove by most stores? Lachora, the Gemara always says stores. Logically, you think amount of meat. Maybe the Gemara is lantavka. Okay, that's a big unresolved issue which confuses the Achronim. Okay, we'll pick up Amir Tzashem next time, and we'll, at a certain point, maybe the end of the next year, I think we might just see how far we can get in Simikuf Yud, and then sort of summarize the rest, and because, there's a lot of other things that we have to get to, but for now, we'll continue in Simikuf Yud.